JC2S, Part 2.
Number 19A.
So if we go on and see then this epitome, I just building up a general warm feeling for the subject, and then we'll get to the specifics. But if the epitome is a truth, that Christian Science, well, that's the truth now, that all that has gone before, that science, which is based on mind, spirit, and soul, which constitutes Christian Science, which lives, now that is the truth. And that truth called Christian Science replaces the common belief in the curative effect of drugs with truth is the only remedy. Now, truth is mind is going to begin to build up what that means. It begins to give us the premise for this particular argument. So truth is mind says that the divine mind is the remedy of truth. See, above in the epitome, it just says that truth is the only remedy. Well, what is that remedy? Well, naturally, it goes back to truth is mind. Mind is the remedy of truth. Mind's ideas are the remedy of truth. Neither the human mind, the second degree, nor matter is curative. And therefore, just remember, however you want to do it, I just keep it in mind, therefore that mind is the medicine which heals. Because we can see that the divine mind is a remedy, because mind's medicine are ideas, as we saw. That's the spiritual realm. And then just remember that that spiritual realm, those ideas then, you could jot down, heal the mental realm of its false beliefs. Those ideas get after the morphogenetic field of false beliefs, those universal, collective, and individual, unconscious, subconscious, and conscious beliefs. And when ideas heal the mental of those beliefs, it heals the physical. You want to write down. It heals the first degree. So the spiritual, the third degree, heals the second degree, which heals the first degree. And then she'll show that, yes, the spiritual, the divine mind, its ideas heal beliefs, and therefore it heals, and those beliefs heal the physical, because she says there is a link between the mental and the physical. She'll bring that out and say, well, the reason is because there's a link between the mental and the physical, because, as I've said now, that the mental beliefs objectified are called the physical realm. And therefore, as we've said now, I'm just helping you with your notes, you just say, well, therefore the physical, if I have a physical claim that's been uncovered and it hurts and I say, what is that? Then I know through Christian Science I am learning that that physical claim is some mental false belief objectified. Whether it's a false belief which has come through genetics, through the DNA, through the genetic code, or whether it's some false belief that has come through astrology. However that false belief has come, it is now objectifying itself and it's being uncovered as a physical claim. But that physical claim is saying something is wrong in mentality. It's exposing. You see, it's been analyzed and uncovered. Saying something is at work in mentality that has been analyzed and uncovered and exposed. And as Mrs. Eddy said in this article, that error must be seen before it can be cast out. So when it's has been analyzed in the mental realm and uncovered there in the physical realm, we're not concerned. It has to be seen before it is cast out. But it is, she says, before it is cast out, meaning it is going to be cast out. It's on its way out. So that is, let's just now always keep that rhythm in mind, and I just keep going over and over it so it becomes natural to us. We get a physical claim. What do we say to ourselves? Do we say, oh, I better go take a drug? We say, no. How can a drug heal a false belief? Because that physical claim that I have is not a physical claim per se. Matter doesn't exist per se. Matter is just a false belief in mortal mind objectified. So when I get an ache and a pain, what in the world can a drug do for an ache and a pain when that ache and the pain is just some false belief objectified? So naturally, drugs can heal a false belief. So what good are they? That's your logic. Throw them out the door, so to speak, when you're ready for it. Because she says that that's just one error trying to heal another error. One false belief trying to heal another false belief. But she says what we have to get at then are these ideas. Drugs can't have any effect on an idea. So therefore she's on beliefs. What we have to get after are beliefs. Drugs have no effect on beliefs, she's saying. Those beliefs of the second degree, of the mental. So she's saying all that can cure, then, are ideas. Ideas are the only elements that can cure beliefs. And when they cure beliefs, they cure the physical. Can you see now? Okay, so Christian Science is very normal and natural. It's very natural. So we say, well, of course, that makes sense. So that's why, therefore, at the point of truth is mind, it says that the divine mind is the remedy of truth. Of course, mind is the medicine. Mind's ideas are the medicine, which are the remedy of truth. Certainly not the human mind is the medicine. It's filled with all these beliefs. How can we go to the mental to heal a physical claim? It has enough of its own problems. It's trying to sift out what is real from what is unreal. Sometimes it's influenced by ideas, but mostly by these false beliefs. So the human mind, she says, is no curative agent. It's having its problems with all these beliefs. And certainly not matter is a curative agent. It is just a false belief objectified. So she leaves us with only the possibility in spiritual logic that the divine mind is the only remedy. And we feel natural with it. But she says, I'm going to do a little bit more for you. I'm going to build that up a little bit more so you can get a little deeper insight into the fact that the divine mind is the medicine, which is the only remedy. So through truth is mind, she gives it in three subtones. She doesn't give it in any more than three subtones because she says once you understand the subtone is sub-subtone is mind, and the sub-subtone is spirit, and the sub-subtone is soul, that's all you need to grasp the subject of truth is mind. It's done that way in the days of creation. You know that there's only these tones, first of all, of mind is mind, and mind is spirit, and mind is soul. Max saying that he feels then that's because that's all one needs to grasp the subject. She could have gone on and explained it as principle, life, truth, and love, but she says all you need to get it is up to mind, spirit, and soul. But if she wants to give more information and says you need a little bit more to grasp the subject, then she gives a little bit more, as this happens in the layout of the days of creation. So here she says, all right, you're beginning to see in the main tone that truth is the only remedy, and as mind, that remedy is the divine mind and its ideas. Now let me give you some more information. She says, truth is mind is mine. God made the divine mind the medicine of truth. Well, that's just helping us out why mind is the only remedy. Because God made the divine mind and its ideas the medicine of truth. And then she says, I'll give you some more information about that divine mind, which is the medicine, as spirit, she says. And that divine mind, which is the medicine, never called matter medicine. Well, that makes sense. And then she says, I'll give you a little bit more information. And that divine mind, which is the medicine, is superior to the human mind as medicine. Well, we'll accept that. And it's superior to matter as being medicine. Well, we'll accept that too. You see how easy it is? Okay, wonderful. And there, this is the basis of healing. The trick is just to keep culturing it in consciousness and going out from that minds and its ideas, and culture consciousness in minds and its ideas. And those ideas through the law of opposite are going to start analyzing, uncovering those false beliefs. But then as it analyzes and uncovers the beliefs, those beliefs are already two-thirds destroyed in the last destroys itself, because she says the nothingness of nothing becomes plain. Through the ideas, we realize that those beliefs are not real. They're nothing, and we let them go. All right, so let's now start with this work with truth as the medicine, and underlining, therefore, let's do the underlining with the epitomes. We'll go back to the epitome there and say, all right, that Christian science, well, Christian science we can replace with truth, because that is now the truth. We've accepted that of that science now to be living in our consciousness, and if we have accepted that science to live within consciousness, we've accepted it as the truth. Now that truth comes to us, huh? It's that first translation. That truth, in its first translation, comes to us, and what does it do? Through the second translation, it's going to replace the common belief in the curative effect of drugs with truth is the only remedy. That's the retranslation. So that's truth too. So the whole tone is in truth. But truth in its first translation, Christian science, which comes to us, the truth which comes to us through the Emmanuel, which retranslates out of our consciousness the belief that drugs are effective and curative, with the fact that truth is the only remedy. All right, now let's color truth as mind. So truth is mind. Therefore, the divine mind, is the remedy of truth. Neither the human mind, the opposite of the divine mind, nor matter, the opposite of spirit, is curative, the opposite of truth. And we'll go on to the subtones as long as we're in the flow. God, well, there we could say God made the divine mind, the medicine of truth. Well, you've got mind and truth. The medicine mind, which is the remedy of truth. And then a spirit, divine mind, never, called matter, the opposite of spirit, medicine, the opposite of mind, which is the remedy of truth. And then a soul, divine mind, is superior soul. It's always soul, that which is superior. So divine mind is superior to the second degree, the human mind, and to the first degree, matter. Well, with that, we're going to have an easy journey here. All right, so we come back now to truth as mind. And we read that in the text, where we see now that is presented at the point of 142.26 to 143.4. Which was first, mind or medicine? If mind was first and self-existent, then mind, not matter, must have been the first medicine. God being all in all, he made medicine. But that medicine was mind. It could not have been matter, which departs from the nature and character of mind God. Truth is God's remedy for error of every kind, and truth destroys only what is untrue. Hence the fact that today, as yesterday, Christ casts out evils and heals the sick. All right, that's truth as mind is mind. Let's go back and color it, and then we'll talk about it through the abstraction. So that which is first is always a tone of mind. We begin with mind. And mind or medicine, mind tones. If mind was first, mind is first. That's a mind tone. And self-existent, well, we bring in all sorts of tones here. That sense from divine science, that mind is operating out of itself, out of that one self-existent mind of divine science. Then mind, not matter, the opposite of spirit, must, there's the Christ, have been the first medicine, mind. God being all in all, well, that God there being mind being all in all. Mind, made mind medicine. Mind made its medicine. Mind creates ideas. So mind makes its medicine. So we can say that God here means that truth is mind is mind. So therefore, that mind being all in all, mind made its medicine. Because mind is that which creates, produces, causes. But that medicine, mind, was mind. Okay? It could not have been matter, which departs from the nature and character of mind, God. Now we have in the Christ tones, truth, the Christ truth tones, truth is God's remedy for error of every kind. And truth destroys only what is untrue. So we have the Christ truth at work here. Truth is God's remedy for error of every kind. How is that? Because through its retranslation, that truth destroys only what is untrue. Hence the fact that today is yesterday, that Christ's truth, through its retranslation, casts out evils and heals the sick. Okay? All right, so let's take a look at this as an abstraction of the text. It's very clear, but we'll just build it up slowly. So we say, yes, of course, out of the main epitome, we say, isn't that wonderful now in Christian Science? We are learning then that truth is the only remedy. My goodness, how that isn't understood in the world today. But we are grateful for the laws of life, truth, and love that have brought to us that understanding. Now that truth is the only remedy. And as mind, that remedy is the divine mind. And therefore neither the human mind nor matter is curative. So that truth as mind says therefore that mind, God made the divine mind the medicine of truth. That God, that principle, made the divine mind the medicine of truth. And now it's going to say how... give us a little bit more information about the divine mind, which is the medicine of truth. So she says, what was first, mind or medicine? And she says, well, mind was first and self-existent. Therefore, if mind was first and self-existent, then mind, not matter, must have made the first medicine. Clever. See, isn't that wonderful? She's saying, well, if mind is first, and it's the all in all, and it's self-existence, and mind was here before matter, and if mind was here before matter, then mind must have been the first medicine. And it was. Who said that matter was medicine? Do we know? She goes on in the text to say, well, It was Hippocrates that said that matter was medicine. He was the one that took the belief that gods heal and said, well, that matter heals, that nature heals, that drugs heal. And so she's saying, well, mind was here before any human belief was here. Mind was first and it was self-existent. Therefore, the divine mind, not matter, must have been the first medicine because it was first, so it created the first medicine. And therefore, she says, because mind is all in all, and it fills all space, and if mind was here, then it was that which made medicine. It was that which made the first medicine. So therefore, that medicine was mind. Medicine must be of the same nature of mind because mind created it. And what did mind create as medicine? Ideas. Mind creates ideas. And then she just says, well, a truth is God's remedy for error of every kind, saying, well, therefore that medicine, which is mind, is the remedy for every ill. Okay? So that's generally it. We can accept that. Now let's go on to truth is mind is spirit. So now we have well established that divine mind is the medicine. And now the epitome reads, therefore, truth as mind is spirit. Therefore that divine mind never called matter medicine because it only calls itself medicine. It only calls what is of its nature medicine, which would be ideas. So let's look at what she says on page 143, 5 to 12. It is plain that God does not employ drugs or hygiene, nor provide them for human use, else Jesus would have recommended and employed them in his healing. The sick are more deplorably lost than the sinning. If the sick cannot rely on God for help, and the sinning can, the divine mind never called matter medicine, and matter required a material and human belief before it could be considered as medicine. Oh, that's wonderful. All right, so to mark our text, it is plain that God does not employ drugs or hygiene. That's that. Matter is medicine, so it's opposite of spirit. Drugs and hygiene would be that matter. She says, else Jesus would have recommended them and employed them. And then she says, if the sick cannot rely on God mind for help, so rely on God mind for help, that's a mind tone, and the sinning can. Then she says the divine mind, never called matter, the opposite of spirit, medicine, the opposite of, well, mind, yes. And matter required a material and human belief. See, that's showing that matter of itself has really no impact as a medicine. That anyhow, matter had, the first degree, had to look to the second degree for any of its power. Matter required what?
Faith.
Yeah, see, and matter required a material and human belief. So she's saying, oh, well, matter of itself is nothing. It required anyhow a belief. Mind, huh, the opposite of mind. Before it could be considered medicine. There she refers back to those early medical practitioners who, as I said, took away from the gods of mythology healing power and gave the healing power to matter or herbs or drugs and said that drugs heal, not gods don't heal, but matter heal. So that was just, she's saying it's just a belief anyhow that, first of all, it was a belief that gods heal. And then those early medical practitioners said, oh, well, gods don't heal. Really what heals are these herbs and this material substance. So it was just their belief that it heals, she says. So matter anyhow required a belief. All right. So we just go on to the abstraction. Which I think is very clear already from what she says. The divine mind never called matter the medicine. Material methods rejected. God does not employ drugs or hygiene. God does not provide them for human use. There we can say mind does not employ matter. Certainly not. Mind can never mingle with a material belief. That would be spiritualism. Mind only works through its own channels. We saw that with that equipotence of God reasoning, that if spirit is all and all, that that mind can never be divided into its opposite, therefore it could never use any other channel except itself to heal. So mind would never employ or use drugs or hygiene. And neither would Jesus, because he was of that mind of Christ. So therefore, that mind is the help. That mind is the remedy. That mind is the remedy for sin and for sickness. That mind's ideas heal sin, the mental, as well as sickness, certainly. Therefore, the divine mind never called matter medicine. All right, so we see that, I think, was very clear when we went through the tone in the text.